What's going, everybody? We are back at it again. What's up, gaming world? It's your boys from Long Island Gaming League here once more for another episode. Got a doozy for you. This is going to be a good one. Got my boy Nicky on the other side. Nick, what's going on, my friend?
What is going on, Bruno? How are you doing today?
It's Friday night. Saturday.
Friday game. Night, Call of Duty night.
Yes, for people in the future that are watching.
I got excited.
Behind, yesterday was the official, kind of today was the official launch of.
Midnight last night. Yeah, same thing.
Was the official release of the new Modern Warfare 2. I personally did play the beta, and I did play the campaign, and I'm still going to reserve my comments for people who know me out there, know my opinions about Call of Duty. So I'll give it a week, and then I'll burn it or I'll love it. So, you know, but that's a conversation for a little bit later on. We are here with our actual first returning guest to the podcast. This is one of our boys here from Long Island Gaming League. A lot of you might know him by his real name. A lot of you might know him by his gaming name. We know him as both. His name is Elvis, other known as Ether the Reaper.
Elvis, yo, what's up, guys?
What's going on, my friend?
What is going on?
I'm really, really excited to be back, and this is the first time I wanted to actually announce. So I am doing a name change. So I'm no longer going by Ether. I'm going by codename Tengu. It was just a recent change. Actually, I would say it's been about a month now since I've been going with that name. And I know people are going to ask me, what happened? Why'd you change the name? And I just kind of outgrew Ether, honestly. It was something that it was a name that I created real young, like in high school. So it was just one of those things. You ever have a gamer tag that you created in high school and you're just like, I'm not even feeling it anymore, but I just kind of kept
that
around.
That's still my gamer tag to this day.
Yeah, I have the same gamer tag since I'm 9.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So many people have that. And yeah, I wanted something that's more kind of closer to what I guess represent myself today and what I like. And I'm someone that is heavily involved with martial arts and gaming at the same time. And I want to say about, it's been a year and a half almost, that I've been practicing Iaido. If for those who don't know, Iaido is a sword martial art. It actually translates to Way of the Sword. So I've been practicing Japanese katana for a while now. I am currently a Nikyu, which is a brown belt in the martial art. And yeah, I'm still going. And I just love the Japanese culture. I'm in love with anime, as you guys can see here. I got the shirt on. And I've always involved with martial arts at a young age. So I started in karate. I'm getting thrown all these Japanese terminology as well when I'm learning these moves. So it was just a natural progression for me to kind of gravitate towards that. So Tengu, for those who don't know, is like a mythical sky dog demon in Japanese mythology. And I just thought that was really cool. And they're martial arts themselves. And yeah, they're in a lot of different pop culture as well. And the codename part kind of comes just because I thought it was cool. And also, I'm a big fan of Metal Gear Solid and the Metal Gear Solid franchise. They all had codenames, all weird-ass codenames. Snake, Liquid Snake, Solid Snake, Solidus, you know, Raiden, Otacon. All these characters with weird-ass codenames. I just always thought the concept was cool. So I just wanted to make that part of it. But that was my long-winded intro.
Well, I mean, changing names is not that bad. I mean, at the end of the day, the way I see it, it's like a company, you know. Your brand is you. Your name is going to be the first thing that people are going to see about your brand. What do big companies do every 3, 4, 5, 6 years? Rebrand. only difference is in the gaming world, it's 20 years, 30 years, 15 years. That's how long people take to change names sometimes. But
I mean,
Or it could take a week, 2 weeks. Because I like, for me, for instance, I went through, I think, 5 different names within the span of a couple years.
I like mean, at the beginning,
the gamer tag that I have now was the same one that I had in high school, but throughout that time, I changed it repeatedly. Like, I was the Joker, I was King Leonidas, I was, I think, Hisoka from Hunter x Hunter. I was, I think, at one point as a meme, I was President Donald J. Trump. I was.
You hit that one on the money.
I only butchered it like 6 times, but I had to keep. I had to feel accomplished.
That reminds me of something, but you go ahead and finish.
I forget what other names I had. I had Joker, either way, I had at least 5 or 6 different names throughout the past couple years.
Mine's always been the same, just maybe a little change here or there in the name, but it's always been the same thing. Maybe a little add a word here, add a little something, but I like my name, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, so I just saw on Twitter, and I kind of knew about this. It was something that was kind of been going on for a little bit now. But Washington Post actually just put out an article. And apparently there is someone that nobody knows. This guy came out of nowhere. He starts dominating Guilty Gear tournaments. And under an alias, and that alias is Joe Biden. Now, it gets crazy. So, people are like, who the heck is this guy coming into these tournaments? And is his name Joe Biden? Like, nobody knows him. And so, people start to make conspiracy theories like, oh, this could actually be Joe Biden.
Oh, please.
So they started questioning the White House. So a bunch of people started asking the White House. And again, this is a post. This is an article that Washington Post put out.
Of course.
And apparently the White House refused to speak on if it was or wasn't.
Oh,
person.
Let's not go down this lane. No.
So there is a possibility that we live in a world of 2022 where our president
is the top tier
Guilty Gear player,
or
and is winning online tournaments.
It's Donald Trump trying to pass as Biden, which would be
It could be any former president.
It would be hilarious. But
and what's even crazier is that the character that this person plays
an old man.
is Chip Zanoff, which is a ninja style character. His backstory is that he is a delinquent that basically got his stuff together when he joined a ninja clan.
Gotcha.
And his now new inspiration is to become the president of the United States. So it's just kind of weird. Everything's all lining up like that.
Too many coincidences.
That is a big conspiracy. And honestly, I'm starting to buy this a little
Can
bit.
We go back to Call of Duty, please? Joe Biden.
Bruno, we talk about Call of Duty podcast.
We try to stay neutral in terms of politics.
I mean, today,
this is not going to go good.
Before we think go into Call of Duty, because we're definitely going to go into Call of Duty.
Oh, absolutely.
How'd you guys like the event we did with the Nets?
I had a great time.
I spoke this to you guys. It's like the feeling just because of the location and stuff. It was very different from what we normally do, especially because of the ambience that was there and the way it felt. I mean, it was nice. I liked it. And I liked it even more that we, although we were, you know, kind of co-hosting the event, we didn't have so much to do compared to other events. We were actually able to, like, sit back and kind of, you know, enjoy ourselves a little bit in an event that we do.
Yeah.
Every other event we've had to, nice. Like, really partake in. Not that there's a problem partaking in the actual tournament or the event that we're having, but this time we had a chance to, like, sit back, actually enjoy ourselves, watch what was happening, and not have to worry about, am I going to get my ass kicked in about 5 minutes to Ether over here or to Codename Tengu or Spiro Jin or to whoever I'm fighting next.
Oh, Spiro Jin. I was hoping you would pick up that name. I saw what Elvis, was it Elvis or was it Tim that posted? about him winning.
Somebody in the group chat, I want to say it was Elvis.
He won a fight for the North, the whole freaking
team. Defend the North. Yeah, so, shout out to Spirit Gene. Man, this guy is ridiculous. He's a legacy Tekken player, plays on a PlayStation 1 controller,
yes, sir.
Goes to Major and just completely
dominates.
Puts on a show for everybody with Eddie, which is considered a low tier character in the game. So, Spirit a hero. Spirit the whole time here. That's all I can say.
For all us Eddie Gordo players, he's our man.
Yeah, so shout outs to him. Nice. But going back to the Nets event, I think it was really cool. I think the venue was really interesting. It was a different type of vibe.
Yes.
You kind of had a lower floor, upper floor. And it was really cool getting to meet the Nets guys and seeing what they do when it comes to NBA 2K. I'm completely lost when it comes to the game, but they look like they were having a blast and having a hell of a time. So yeah, it was really cool seeing them doing their thing. And man, that the comedy show
was good.
Killed me.
Oh my god,
I broke. I broke several times.
Everybody was fantastic.
Yeah,
everybody was.
I was on the setup, and I'm also hearing I'm playing Tekken, playing casuals, and then the comedy show's going on, and I'm just dying laughing. I couldn't help myself. They were such good performers, and it was really cool how it worked out like that. And a lot of people liked it, and you could tell like everyone had kind of enjoyed it.
Everybody was having a good time. Yeah. Even people that weren't really partaking in our stuff.
Yep.
All the way in the back of the venue were like cheering on Fudge, cheering on whoever was on the mic at the time, participating and joining in on the conversation.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple of teachers too, I believe. I forget who it was.
I hope not. That wasn't proper for that kind of people. It was a little...
No, there was one teacher that was there, because I think it was... I want to say it was Fudge that was making a comment about teachers. And then either him or is it Jazz? I think it's Jazz.
Probably Jazz.
She might have been saying, oh, something about teachers, did we have any teachers here? And like I saw one table, like two hands like raise their hands.
Oh,
like,
up on top. Yeah. By the way, shout out to Fudge the Comedian. We will be having him on one of our upcoming podcast episodes. Keep your eyes out on that.
This should be a very, very interesting podcast.
Will be very different, I can guarantee, just because he's outside of the gaming realm, and it's going to be something very, I guarantee, especially the way he is probably going to be something very interesting. I mean,
yeah,
very unique, very different. Yeah. Very excited for it. Very excited for all the podcasts that we do.
But yeah, once again, out to our boy. Congratulations again on winning Defend the North. I think that this was the first time in a long time that he's gone to a major, right?
The thing is with a lot of the older, not to say he's old or anything, but a lot of the FGC, their ability to travel,
yes,
and their ability to invest a lot of time in the game. You're at different stages of your life. If you're someone that is young and don't have a lot of responsibilities, don't have to pay rent, don't have to do this, it's very easy to dump a lot of time and effort into a game and start to get good. Whereas someone where it's like our age, where we have a lot of different responsibilities, paying off debt, doing this, school, this, whatever it may be. It's kind of hard to find the time to be not only consistent in playing, but to make the best out of your time and to even get an opportunity to go to these tournaments, opportunity to play people that are on a high level. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But I just wanted to say shout out to everyone that comes to Ghost. Because mm-hmm. Big shout out to everyone that will participate in the Tekken tournaments, or if you're just there just to hang out casually and watch the games. Like it just shows that if you have people in a room that have an understanding of what it takes to be good at a game and to flex your skill, like it just goes to show you can grow a community anywhere. We're literally in a bar.
Yep.
And like, it's insane. It's insane because this is not something you see. You always see tournaments in a little card shop here, tournaments in a little, you know, a little land center and things like that. I've never seen tournaments ran out of bars in a consistent way. They've done it before. I've seen tournaments do it, but at a as a local, I've never seen that before. And I think we're probably the first on Long Island to do something even remotely close to that. Definitely. And it's just incredible how it's grown from the beginning to how it is now. We're actually streaming the event. We're getting consistent players. We have the guy that wins majors come to our event. Yep. So it's just, it's incredible to see, you know, it's not just, you know, 3-4 people like how it started. Now we're getting a good consistent number of kids coming in and having a good time. Whether they make it far in the bracket or not, everyone's smiling because we had a couple drinks. So
I mean, look at the three guys that you see here on the screen. All three of us, we all participate. We get our asses whooped. I mean, the best one out of us all is Elvis because he it's fighting games. It's
he's the one that has the experience in the fighting games, but obviously.
For you to have an idea of how talented the people are that come to our tournament, even Elvis has problems going forward because of the quality of all these guys that are coming in. I don't think, like you said, I don't think there's nothing in Long Island at least like
that. And bars are one of the only places I can think of where tournaments are rarely held for gaming. I could think of, besides the obvious, you know, drinking tournaments and drinking games, stuff like that.
Beer pong,
and flip cup, anything like that. Gaming is one of the things where if I hear tournament, I think of exactly what Elvis was saying. Land center, even sometimes schools.
Or a mall. Yeah. Sometimes
like between friends in schools or malls or anything like that, but never bars. And I don't want to say we're the first to ever do it, but we're the first, I believe, to have a major impact and to consistently do it.
I mean, we've been doing it for what? How many months have we been going on already?
It's been...
Before the summer.
Before the summer, this was... Yeah. I want to say we started...
Because it was still indoors when we did it. So probably, it was probably...
April. Yeah. I remember seeing the first thing. I want to say it was April 4th. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
But that date sounds...
I feel like we're coming up on at least like 6 months, maybe.
Yeah, I think a little past 6 months.
We've been having
consistently
numbers, good numbers. Not even just in the tournament itself, but people coming out to, you know, watch the event and just to, you know, get together and stuff like that. I mean, we've consistently had huge numbers on a night that, you know, even the bar themselves says, you know, we never have these many people here on these nights. That's why.
Yeah. And I want to say this too. You know, I've never seen, this is something that is unique to us because this is me. I've of course been involved with fighting games for a while, been going to tournaments. I've gone to Next Level. There was a time where before, of course, COVID happened and everything like that. You know, I was going to consistently the Next Level in Brooklyn every single Wednesday for Street Fighter and for Sam Show and for Mortal Kombat and all these games I was competing in. And everyone that came there, they came there with a purpose. Like they came there specifically for the tournament. With what we have, which is different, we have that plus people that are just walking into a bar. And people that see the games, they say they recognize the characters. Oh, is that Tekken? And they're like, yeah, it's Tekken. And you see a unique dynamic of people getting excited, like, oh man, I used to play Tekken 2, and oh man, this is awesome. Like, I gotta tell my boy loves Tekken. You guys come here all the time. I'm like, yeah, we're here every other week. Come down, like. I've never seen anything grow like that in a way. Like, it's not just fighting game fans. It's people that are fans of just the game or gaming in general that just so happen to be in the area, just so happen to walk in to grab a drink, and they see everyone having fun, everyone getting hype over some games. So I think that's just such a cool, unique thing that we have that I haven't seen before in any local.
No, for sure. That's definitely. I mean, I think we've even had people that come from other states, from what I understand. Jersey, we had people in Jersey.
Yep.
I think we had people at one point from Massachusetts come.
I believe so, yeah. There's even people that come from I know Merrick comes from Queens, comes okay, all the way out the. Well, still, it's still close. A good hour, to an hour, 15-minute drive.
Yeah.
From Queens to Ghost, which is in, where is it in again? It's in Bayshore. What am I blanking out? Bayshore.
Funny enough, we have people on Long Island that don't want to drive 30 minutes. And you have people from.
I'm one of those people that are like, it's a 30-minute. I kind of just want to stay cozy at home, just like knock out early.
So that just goes to show
how you don't show.
Wow.
Ooh, sorry, I burned him. Sorry, he's getting
burned
live.
Put it on blast.
He's getting blasted live.
Blasted live on the podcast. The disrespect coming from Bruno these days, man. I can't catch a break.
That one was.
It's right, though. I'll just have to whoop his ass in Modern Warfare 2.
That one
was
bottled. You got to eat a lot of broccoli for that, my friend.
Broccoli?
Yes.
I'm a steam broccoli in your house.
Oh, please, no. You're
going to take your vegetables. No. I'm gonna steam a whole batch of broccoli in your house. Let it smell.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Let's talk about Call of Duty.
Yes, let's go back to Call of Duty so I can smoke.
Or is there anything else? Wait.
One more thing. I just wanted to say is I think we got very lucky with everyone that's involved with Ghost because they don't bother us at all. We get rowdy. We're doing our thing. They just stay our way. They just, you know, they're doing their own thing. And the staff has been super, super nice to us, super cordial. And I just want to say shout out to Ghost, everyone that works at Ghost, everyone that's involved with, you know, making these Ghost events happen.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see how much more it grows, for sure.
Ah, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Before we jump into Call of Duty, I kind of have an idea that maybe there's another game that maybe Elvis wants to talk about first that he might be a little bit anxious to come out. I know we've spoken about it in the past. There's a couple of fighting games that are in the talks are supposed to be coming out that you're going to be doing some kind of beta in.
So there's a lot of things happening, a lot of gears turning, as we're approaching pretty much the end of quarter four, and we're going to be going back into the new year. So as everyone knows that follows Street Fighter, recently we had the beta. And that was crazy. Not the fact that the gameplay itself was fun, which it absolutely was. And, you know, it was so cool seeing the new stuff. But the fact that people were selling beta codes for thousands of dollars.
I heard about that too.
People are reselling their beta codes and it's going crazy. People are bidding thousands and thousands of dollars. I didn't understand. I've never seen that for a beta before.
Mm-hmm.
Just to play for a weekend, basically. So weird. So that just goes to show you the anticipation for Street Fighter 6, how interesting it is that they're focusing a little bit more on single player content and what that does to bring in more people. So I'm really excited for Street Fighter 6. Of course, you know, we've got more information on Project L, which is the League of Legends fighting game. We've got more gameplay on that. Really, really cool information, seeing that it's a 2v2 tag fighter. Really interesting mechanics that are unique to characters and kind of plays into what they do as, you know, a character in League of Legends as far as their roles, if they're a tank or someone that is more of a rushing, attacking type of style.
Wow, interesting.
It's really, really cool. I definitely recommend if you guys get a chance, check out the latest gameplay that they showed, and they kind of break down I think like two or three characters just move sets and what it is they do, and it looks super good, and people are really excited for that game to come out for sure.
No, for sure. Just a quick question: how long has it been since the last Street Fighter came out? That might kind of also justify why people are wanting to spend so much money.
So I want to say it's been now close to six, seven years.
For a fighting game, that's a long time.
It's been a long time, but to be fair, it's gotten updated. So we went from Street Fighter V, then we went to Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, and now we have Street Fighter V Champion Edition, where they just add more characters, update mechanics. And that's typically what they do. Since Street Fighter 2, we had Street Fighter 2, Super Turbo, Champion Edition. You know, it's just that's just something they've always done. But essentially, it's just an improvement on the previous version of the game. So it does feel like you're playing the same game in a way for numerous of years, but it's still new enough to kind of keep you interested and to revisit it, essentially. So yeah, people did not receive Street Fighter V as intended by Capcom, just solely because of the hiccups in early on the launch. There was no single player mode. There was no arcade mode. There was hardly character. There was a lot of issues.
Oh my god!
Launch, and it put a lot of people off.
Wow.
And then essentially, after some time, things were fixed little by little, and it became to what it is today. But yeah, people were kind of mad at how Street Fighter V went. So they're really looking at Street Fighter VI like, wow, they listened, they fixed the issues that we've been complaining about, and now's the time to jump back into the Street Fighter series and to really have a good time.
I'm still waiting for Call of Duty to do that, not going to lie.
Call of Duty.
I had to say it. I'm sorry. But these past couple Call of Duty games have been... I don't think there's been a good Call of Duty game, really good Call of Duty game, memorable.
Since when?
Since...
Let's see if you're on the same page as me and as a lot. Maybe
Dare. I mean, Black Ops 3 had a great zombies, maybe okay multiplayer. Black Ops 2 was my favorite.
Nope.
World War 2 was good though.
Nope. They're wrong again.
I did like World War 2.
Well, last chance. Don't once.
Are you gonna say Black Ops 4?
Ghost.
Ghost was before Black
Ghost
Ops.
Ghost doesn't matter. Ghost is considered the best Call of Duty game that they have come out since.
Well, I'm not.
You're gonna get some people to disagree.
You're gonna
with
make
you on that.
A lot of people angry with it, but
you know the majority do agree that Ghost was probably, especially in terms of the way the game came out, not so many hiccups, how long the game lasted to the point that people remember when Advanced Warfare came out.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah.
You know how many people jumped back to Ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just.
My favorite, the reason why I went to Black Ops 2 is because that was my favorite Call of Duty, because that's the one that I really was like raised on besides...
That's different, right, I understand.
Besides that. Black Ops, besides Black Ops and Black Ops 2, those are my two, that's my childhood right there. That's my childhood going into my teenage years.
Yeah.
And then Modern Warfare 3, Modern Warfare 3 was okay. It was good.
It wasn't great. Probably the last...
Everything after that, besides Ghost and World War 2...
They went too advanced. Way
Cold War, advanced. Absolutely broken.
The worst one to me, and it's probably going to be very contradicting with Vanguard.
Oh, that's not contradicting at all.
Compared to
Cold War, I think it is better though.
It was Advanced Warfare. Advanced Warfare was the worst one until they came out with Vanguard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this. So, this Call of Duty that recently came out, Modern Warfare 2, is really interesting because, as you guys know, Call of Duty as a franchise was on a decline.
Yeah.
There's no secret about that until we had Warzone, right? Yeah. And that kind of brought it out of the hole that it dug itself in.
Yes, sir.
And just because of yearly releases, because of games that are kind of rushed out every single year that weren't as polished as they should have been when you're, you know, as you're expecting when you spend $60, $70, also pay $20 more for the season pass, also pay whatever you got to pay for any type of skin that you want. You know, when you're investing so much money and time and then it's not a finished product in a way, yeah, like things are going to seem repetitive, seems going to be rushed, and a lot of people are not going to be too happy with that.
No, absolutely.
What I'm excited for this Call of Duty, though is the fact that we're going to spend a little bit more time here, and it looks like as of right now, as far as the, you know, graphically and ingenuity of the game, looks like this one is, they made sure this one is going to be a little bit more polished than the normal.
It does look
and good. It's set up for a way that could be future-proofed in the sense that things are going to be supported for a while, right? Yeah, so we're going to get Warzone at some point.
Warzone 2.0.
We're going to get updates to Spec Ops. We're going to get raids where, you know, we have all these different classes and we're you know, doing co-op stuff and we're getting exclusive blueprints, exclusive stuff for doing that.
Spoiler alert.
They thought it out, and that's what I appreciate. It's not just throwing something at the wall and hoping it sticks. This is something that was methodical, and they're looking to grow the franchise in a positive direction, which I'm all for.
Oh, absolutely.
Spoiler alert. Did you guys buy any? Well, I was talking about this off air with Nick, but Elvis, did you by any chance stumble upon today some kind of a little article? You know how it happens when a new game comes out. You have the nerds that go out, instead of playing, they'll buy the game and go through the coding.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I stumbled upon it, but did you by any chance stumble upon a little news of something that they found in the coding?
So I'm not sure if it's what you're referring to, but I know there's several rumors actually going around. Mm-hmm. There's several rumors about possibly seeing some point something with zombies.
Yep.
I don't know if that's true or not.
They found coding. They found coding for a future release of zombies.
Okay, so
brand new for the Modern Warfare series, because I can't remember anything.
I'm very
that's zombies. That. There was
now. Here's the thing, though. We did get zombies in Warzone, so yes. I wonder if it has anything to do with that.
I don't know.
That, you know, it may be a full fledged mode. It may be something that's like a seasonal event. Who knows? Who knows at this point?
That's true. We know is there's coding in there for some type of future release that has to do with zombies. What it is exactly, they don't specifically say what it is. They might still be looking into it, but you know, like they go in and they see, okay, we know that they're gonna get this operator. There's a name, this guy, that guy. We don't know what it is. But in this case, they do see coding for zombies.
Yeah, and that's exciting, and that everyone, you know, that are fans of zombies, they're gonna jump right on board with that. So
this guy,
I love zombies. I love being able to play co-op with any type of mode that is a lot of fun to play with friends.
Yes.
I'm all for it, and that's what gives replayability and you getting excited, creating moments, right? Creating these hype moments, these danger close, and like. You know, coming back from the brink type of moments that are, you know, special to everyone's heart. That's the stuff that you remember, that you talk about when you get into work. Yo, that was crazy. Remember when you did this? Yep. You know, that's what makes the franchise so good, is it's able to do that. But yeah, I'm really excited just for the overall future of the game, just to see that we're doing things different. Yes. And we're not just putting out... Sorry to say, a Vanguard, where we're just getting a different type of look at a multiplayer, and then we're gonna add some Warzone content. Like, it's not just that, we're getting a whole new doorway, a hallway of doors that we can explore now.
Yeah.
That we can expand on, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I know we've spoken about this before also, especially me and you. I haven't heard anything yet except this whole zombie thing, but did you hear anything regarding the Escape from Tarkovish game that they were talking about they were going to do in... I haven't heard anything since the beta, so I don't know.
I haven't had any updates on that, but I do know that that was supposedly going to be a thing. I can't wait to see that. There's a lot of things that people find too. Like, if you remember back in the 2019 Modern Warfare, a lot of people found guns that were in the coding, and you can like, if you could like crack it, you can kind of like equip it, and like they just never came to light, like in any type of DLC in the future or anything. So yeah, I mean, there's stuff that happened that they find, and then.
Truth be said, I don't know how if that really would come to life that that would happen. I don't know how the Call of Duty community would react, because it's like, you guys know, I left Call of Duty to start playing Tarkov since COVID. I've been on it for about 2 years. You know that us on Tarkov, it's a different community from Call of Duty. Call of Duty people basically don't go to Tarkov, and when they do, they don't do too well. I really feel if that does come out, and it is, and if it is so close to Tarkov as they were talking about, I don't know if that's going to backfire on them, because I don't think the Call of Duty community is going to like it.
Maybe.
If it's anything like what I've experienced in the Modern Warfare 2, the remake movement, it's more catering towards the Escape from Tarkov players already. Not the
Call of Duty Cold War.
You guys are used to it, but us Call of Duty players are not necessarily used to it.
Right.
Or we're used to slide canceling. We're used to jumping around corners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you jump and you kind of just like freeze. You can't be hop no more, where it's like you sprint, jump, and then you can jump almost again and just keep bouncing.
Yeah, but like the whole thing of like you dying and losing all your equipment, I don't think the Call of Duty community is waiting for that. Is ready for that. I don't.
I mean, that's what Warzone is in a way. I think it could be something that just like how Warzone did for Battle Royale, it could be that the same way. You know, the style that Tarkov is. I mean, people, you know, we're all familiar with HCZ1 and PUBG.
Right.
And Call of Duty put their own spin on it, that it gave it enough new things to get people to try it and be interested. And it in a way, it's its own thing. You know, it's a unique experience. I don't expect it to play like Tarkov at all.
Nah, hell no.
But I do expect, you know, similar elements, but with the Call of Duty spin. Yeah, we may not get the movement heavy stuff that we've seen in like Modern Warfare 2019. I don't think it's going to be an arcade shooter, and I don't necessarily think we're going to be playing like us sitting in the room R6 Siege style, like, you know, waiting for stuff to pop off. I think it's going to be a good balance where it gives a unique thing. We may see more vehicles, we may see kill streaks in there, we may see a bunch of craziness that just makes it a whole unique experience. So,
well, let's hope so. I already heard about old school kill streaks coming back in that people were asking for. I think, what was it, that single man battle or something, I forgot what it was. There was one they were talking about.
Oh, the I know which one you're talking about.
One man army or something like that.
You're going against hordes of AI. In waves.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, I know they've been talking.
I forget what it's called. I'm blanking out on it.
Then again,
well, that's supposed to make it a comeback. Yeah,
they're also already talking about broken guns, and the game's only been out for a day.
I mean, that's...
I believe I saw. I think it was on TikTok. But there's two things I want to talk about that I saw on TikTok. The first thing being the gun build I was talking about to you earlier, Bruno. Okay. The M14 or the EBR-14, the two-shot kill, like the quickest time to kill a gun, or
is that a build? Or that has it's to a do build. With the ammo? Because don't forget, in this game, you can also upgrade the ammo.
I think the ammo is incubated into the right. Can't you adjust? Hold on, I have the game open right now, so I need to take a look at this myself.
You can change the type of ammo that
you can use. Change the ammunition. So I think that's one of the modifications that the person made. I don't exactly remember the build, but it's the quickest time to kill gun or
has to be armor piercing bullets. That's number one.
Probably, but it's the quickest in the game at the moment, where it's like a two tap in the chest and the guy's done.
Yeah.
The second thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The second thing was the movement, which is what I wanted to go back to before. So on TikTok, I was watching somebody. I can't exactly give credit where credit is due, because I don't remember who posted about it. But somebody was showing side-by-side comparisons with Modern Warfare 2 2009 versus the remaster. And the movement is almost identical. The movement is catering towards back to the old Modern Warfare 2. the way the gun style is, the gunfights.
That's cool.
Even launching the lethals. The game is
cleaner. The game is cleaner, though.
The game is much cleaner, and the game is a little bit brighter, too. Like, there's more color differentiation.
The movement is more fluid, I think. They made the movement more natural.
The movement is only adjusted. The
animations, maybe.
The animation is more adjusted to be smoother, as well as even the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I like, because I like all the old school movement. Like, again, Black Ops 1, I grew up on. You couldn't slide cancel and B-hop. You could only... Right. You could, I think you could slide. I don't even remember
you could
slide.
You can slide now, but you can't cancel your slides. There's no slide canceling right now. That somebody
I believe me, I already tried.
I had heard it did not work in my favor. That during the beta, somebody figured out how to slide cancel.
I don't think that's possible.
I don't know if it happened or not, but I heard something, some kind of something about
it. No, it was I know what you're talking about, Bruno. There was a bootleg way to do it, but it's not viable in a competitive sense.
Exactly.
It's one of those things that people found some janky way to kind of reset the attack sprint, but it's not practical if you're going against other players like that. Yeah. But I do want to say one thing about people that, and this happens every single Call of Duty, even in fighting games, you know, when a game comes out, everyone is crying, oh, this is broken, that is broken, this is so cheap, they got to do something, they got to patch it, they got to take this out of the game. How many times have we heard the same old story? When I hear things like, oh, yeah, like, you know, people are complaining about this thing two-tapping, you can one-shot people with a sniper. So what's the difference at the end of the day?
That, and there's also a sniper rifle, which, again, saw on TikTok, that has, I think it's one of the bolt actions. I think they're all bolt actions, but it has the quickest, like, bolt speed.
Yeah.
It's a build that has the quickest bolt speed, so you can just constantly just keep quickscoping, shooting, quickscoping, shooting, quickscoping.
The thing is with Call of Duty in particular is that things are meant to be bullshit. Like, I'm just going to say it. Like, it's not... most of it, when you're playing regular modes, there's just cheap, broken stuff, but that's what makes the game what it is. It makes it fun and crazy and hectic. And it's not until you get to, like when you play a CDL mode or, like, when you see the pros play, it's more tame, more tactical. That's because they remove a lot of the nonsense. They take away certain tactical equipment. They take away certain attachments from being used. And because we all can agree, there's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of craziness in the game that is just too much in a competitive sense. So, I mean, yeah. And a lot of times when things are out of control, we all know a patch is coming at some point. Yeah. They always do balance changes. Always. And those same guns... Yeah, they don't perform the same way in Warzone and 2, so it's like, if people are worried about that, they don't have nothing to worry about. If it's ridiculous and it's ruining the fun, they're going to change it. So, you know, no one should ever worry about that. They always are constantly doing balance changes. Is it always, a good change? Not always, but, you know, the cool thing about Call of Duty... And what makes it such a good experience for people in general is that the development will support the game. The developers will support the game, whether how hated it is, right? So other shooters aren't so lucky. They get a patch maybe a bunch of months down the line or something. Yep. You know, Call of Duty's constantly... putting out new skins, putting out new blueprints, making changes, balancing changes, fixes, bug fixes, constantly. I don't see support like that for majority of games in general. And luckily enough, you know, if you're a fan of Call of Duty, you got one of the one games that developers are constantly putting time into. So that's why I enjoy the franchise as it is right now, as opposed to maybe some of the other shooters that are out there. But there's all different reasons to play other different things. But that's either here or there.
No, for sure. I mean, so it's like you said, like you played this week, you could be 3-4 days without playing. You go back, there's a patch, there's a fix, there's this, there's that. I mean,
there's another 10 gig update.
Yeah, but I also think
you
gotta also think one thing, and like I throw again Tarkov into the mix. The game's been in beta state for how many years? because they want the game to come out perfect. Call of Duty.
You want a bigger game.
Their beta is... I feel that their beta is just more to make sure that their system holds, that it doesn't crash so much with, you know, the actual game itself in terms of if it needs to be fixed. But, I mean, they'll look into that, but I think it's more of make sure their servers are up for the task and all that stuff. Yeah. If they wanted it to be perfect, let's say like that, maybe they would have done a beta a little bit longer than a week. Or maybe they would have done several sessions. I think that's also something that makes Tarkov so interesting. It's, like you said, constant changes. Today it could be one thing. You come back next Monday. They did an update. Now the gun that you used that was cracked is fixed. Now there's another gun that you don't even like, and that one's cracked. It keeps the game interesting, and in a way.
Yeah.
It could also keep the game a little frustrating, but it keeps it interesting.
An even bigger game that's still, I think, in beta or early alpha.
Which?
Is DayZ. DayZ's been out since 2013.
Beta.
And it's still not complete. Still having updates.
It'll never be complete.
Still throwing out DLCs.
It'll never be
complete. Still doing this, still doing that. I played the game. I think I have almost 700 hours in the game. Easily.
It'll never be fixed. Tarkov is actually...
game is still very buggy.
I think Tarkov, supposedly, I heard something about they want to launch the full game. The game launch in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Damn.
So... it's been coming along freaking far away for that.
Yeah.
I actually want to ask you guys something.
Uh-oh.
So the mentality of any type of competitive game is not too different, right? Everyone understands, like, you have to know the game inside and out. You have to put in a lot of time and see the sequences, see the scenarios that happen. But there's one thing that is plaguing, I think, shooting games that is different from any other competitive game at least that I've seen. And I can speak as far as fighting games. I believe we have a different mentality when it comes to certain things as opposed to people that play first-person shooters competitively. And it seems like the FPS community cannot come to an agreement, or at least there's always a discussion around skill-based matchmaking. And I see the arguments for both sides. Here's what I want to say. As someone that comes from competitive fighting games, once again, we're always looking basically for that challenge, for that, you know, run into the player that if I want to get good at the game, I know I'm going to have to get my ass beat by someone that's better than me.
Yeah.
That's just our mentality, and we're happy to do so. We're happy to engage in, you know, that type of scenario where, like, whoa, I'm playing against this dude is ridiculous. Like, I need to figure out what this person is doing, how to counter it, how to beat it. And that's going to make me grow as a player. And I know at the end of the day, that's going to make me do better and perform better in competition. Whereas I see a lot of first-person shooter pros that also like that, but also have a problem of when they're just playing, either on their stream or with their group of friends, that, we don't want to run into people that are really good. We want to run into people that is like a mixed bag. Like, some people are bad. We want to, you know, kind of be able to not try as hard and kind of like just have fun in that sort of sense, which I understand and I get it. But in my mind, I'm like, I don't necessarily play this for fun per se. Like, I play this to get better as a player so that I can enjoy the reward of that. That's just kind of how I think about it. I want to know what you guys think about skill-based matchmaking, where you stand on the issue, and do you think there's a way we can change this, or a way that we could kind of balance from the game doing one thing and the fans wanting another. What do you guys think?
Go for it.
I guess I'll go first, mm-hmm. Bruno. Because being a competitive shooter for, oh God, years now, I don't think there's ever going to be a right balance to competitive matchmaking, even casual matchmaking.
Yeah.
Especially in Call of Duty, because they kind of have none of it whatsoever. Even or skill-based matchmaking, they have very little of it. I would say the most I saw was in Call of Duty Cold War, from at least more recently what I remember, and it still wasn't that great.
Yeah,
because I'd get in lobbies where I'm getting 30, 40, 50 plus kills, and then the next game I'm getting
2 kills, 3 kills,
10, maybe 20. Mm-hmm. So I would go from top of the leaderboard to close to the bottom of the leaderboard within a game. Now that could just be I was off that game. Maybe the map was different. Maybe my aim or something just wasn't right that game. But what I believe it was, what caused that was more of the matchmaking difference, the skill difference between me and the people I was going up against. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, I could get kills, but my KD wouldn't come out positive or wouldn't come out above positive. Maybe it'd be break even at a perfect 1.0.
Interesting. Okay. What about you, Bruno?
So.
Forgot what else I was going to say. No, but anyway, you go. You go, Bruno.
In terms of skill matchmaking, picking up again on Tarkov, that don't exist. It's a mix. It's a mixed bag, whatever comes up. So I'm used to it. Now, my point of view is there's a way to get around skill-based matchmaking.
Yeah.
And it got figured out very easily in Cold War, which was you join the group on a guy, one of your friends that has the lowest KD possible, the shittiest, he's like the bottom 5%. You have him start the lobby, and you're guaranteed to have the most garbage lobby in the game. Your shit goes up, and you just keep on doing it, keep on tanking. Yep. I feel like I think at one point they even figured out that there were streamers that when they were streaming for content, they were using VPNs and they were joining the Peru servers and South American servers, staying away from Asian servers, European servers, where the player skill was lower, so they can boost up their KD, they can boost up their kills for content. And you're mm-hmm. laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. And
I know exactly what you're talking about. And just real quick, just to jump in, like the fact that if you're someone that is trying to boost your stats mm-hmm. or doing these things to get around skill-based matchmaking, doesn't that prove why we need to have skill-based matchmaking in the first place? It's so that you as someone that is ridiculous or you're playing in a lobby that you're not supposed to be in to just, boost your ego that you can stomp all these, like, five-year-olds? Like, what are we doing? Like,
even if that's the case.
In my point of view, I just think it's just, if you're just doing everything you can to get around it, just get rid of it.
I mean, even if that's the case, like you said, there's plenty of loopholes to get around.
Exactly.
Let's just say you have a full lobby, right? I think a full lobby for Call of Duty is 6 in your lobby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You being the highest KD and your other buddies having the lowest KD. Even if you get somewhere in the middle, right, you're still going to be a higher KD and a higher... You're going to be more above average in that lobby. So then maybe your buddy's KD's also increase while yours increases. Okay, well then it's still going to be around the same. It's going to be the same skill-based gap. So then when you go to your own lobby, you realize, I've been going up against people that it can barely even shoot someone and kill someone in the game.
Yeah.
And then you go to these guys hit all their shots. They don't miss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to go back to now that's where your true matchmaking level is somewhere in between what technically your skill base says you're in or at least what your KD says you're in, but where your KDs, where your friends' KDs are really at.
Yeah, but maybe your skill level isn't as good because your KD got boosted.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
I personally think, this has been a conversation that's been going on for years now. I just think to stop this, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. It is what it is. I think it's just time because it. You know what? You have resources allocated just to skill-based matchmaking, just to watch over, make sure it's working, where you can probably use that in other areas of the game that need help. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it altogether. To me, it's just broken. It's broken.
Well, the thing is, I think we all know, or I think everyone accepts the fact that it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never going to work out the most optimal way all the time or anything like that. But the intent is just so if you're someone that is trying to get into this game that you paid $60 for plus the $20 for the season pass and all that, and you are getting crushed as a new player, it's going to discourage a lot of people that don't have the mental fortitude, that are not fighting game players, that are not trying to play, you know. So that is where I see the value of skill-based matchmaking. Now, do I think it hurts as far as the experience if you're someone that's really good and you're getting teamed up with Joe Schmo that doesn't know his life left from his right? Yeah, it hurts your experience, and that is a problem. So there's pros and there's cons. That's the way I see it. I think the best thing to do as far as whatever a solution, I think we have one mode where we have skill-based matchmaking that you can play people typically around the similar level as you, especially if you're a beginner, and then you have a competitive ranked mode where it's just we don't have skill-based matchmaking. Yep. It's just whoever wants to step up to the plate, they step it up to the plate. Yep. Whether you're trash or not, I think that is a better balance.
Yep.
You know, that's what we see more in games like Rainbow Six Siege, where you have the competitive, where you have the matchmaking, where even then, you know, it could be skewed. You could be on a Smurf account. It could be an alternate account where you have a lower rank just so that you could perform better or make it look better just to play with friends, whatever the case is. But I believe that should be incorporated in almost all. Because they have casual where you have a random lot of people.
Yeah.
Where it could be like, all right, you could have a champion playing against a bronze or a copper.
But it's casual.
So you get the top or the low, but it's casual. It doesn't affect your matchmaking rank. You have unranked, which is more of the competitive feel.
Right.
Where you can ban maps, ban operators, choose your map, and then, but still have the different match, you know, almost the same matchmaking difference as casual. And then there's competitive. That, I feel like, is the closest we're going to ever get to having a perfect system.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you have three different game modes.
I think two should be enough.
Each different type of feel. Yeah. I agree, two should be enough. Yeah,
ranked. And
ranked and casual.
That's it.
I think that's what Call of Duty tried to do with the Call of Duty League.
They had that, and it was that working. Didn't, you noticed
it was
the difference.
Working. I noticed the difference.
Once you go into
I have plenty of clips from all of us playing of
ranked
Call of Duty League.
You know right away you're in a total different, just the way the guys are playing. They're like, oh, what?
It's a different game.
Yeah, I think that
where guys take the game more seriously.
Yeah.
They, instead of making careless decisions, they kind of just, they kind of think before they act.
Yeah.
Where in casual, you could just have fun. You could just do whatever the hell you want and not have any.
Yeah. It's just chaos.
You can run around with a riot shield and a pistol. You know,
that's it.
You could just pistol whip everybody. You
know? Yeah.
Start throwing grenades back and forth. Fuck it.
I think both needs to exist because it's just you either fall on one side of the fence or the other. And I think both modes need to exist. It's just this is the current climate of what people expect now. It's like there's people that want to compete and there's people that want to just have fun, have the classic Call of Duty experience where there's craziness happening. So, you know, I think there's an audience for both. I don't think we should just cater one over the other necessarily, and I think it's just more fair if we have the option for both types of mindsets And hopefully we do see a CDL mode in this new Call of Duty. I'd be actually really interested to play that and see what they do as far as what changes they make to the rule set, what maps they allow and not allow, things like that. I would love to play a CDL hostage rescue mode. I think that would be so fun. So, yeah, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like I said, I think they should just have two modes. Like you said, yeah. You want the skill-based matchmaking, go to ranked, where it's more serious. You just want to screw around and throw grenades and walk around, run around with a knife and knife people again, go casual. Fuck it.
I think we should go around one by one, just say what your overall thoughts of the game. What do you like about it so far? What you don't like about it so far? Just your overall thoughts. And would you guys want to do that?
Yeah.
I'm alright with that. Yeah.
All right. So I guess Bruno, why don't you start? Overall thoughts of the game from the campaign, from the gameplay standpoint, graphical standpoint, how everything is done. Overall thoughts, pros and cons. Go.
Well, okay. In terms of the story, we know how Call of Duty is. It's always the same thing. It's story mode. There's no... It looks like their blueprint is basically always the same. They could change one thing or another. I think they maintain their blueprint, which works. Don't get me wrong. I've done every campaign and every Call of Duty that I've played, and I've completed it. Now, graphics-wise, I think the game is very good. You could even see in the cinematics, you're almost, if it's very realistic. That, I think, you know, my hat's out to them. They did very good.
Mm-hmm.
Animation of the game, I think the game feels more fluent than it was before. You know, things I feel the game is better than it was. Definitely. I haven't played the multiplayer, so I can't talk about that yet. I haven't played it.
Play the beta, so yeah. I mean, it's not too far.
I did. I tell you the truth. I like the regular multiplayer. I didn't like the, what was the other version with the
bigger third person?
With the bigger
person. It's like the new Ground War type of mode.
I did not like it. I thought it was just too much confusion.
Oh, especially is it the
because they incorporate war. AI. You have AI.
Oh, mode. Invasion.
Yeah.
With the AI characters in there, and all, I just think it's too much.
Okay.
I personally think it's too much. If they did that with, let's say, 12-person teams, no AI, I think you probably maybe if it was just to shrink the map a little bit more, if you wanted to. I think that would have been enough. I think just adding the AI to it just adds a little. And it's not like you kill the AI and that's it. No, it's just waves and waves. Yeah, they just keep on spawning. I just think it's too much.
Well, I haven't played it on the full version, so maybe they made a lot of changes. So we can't say for sure.
Let's hope.
Overall, what do you think? And also give a rating at the end. Out of 10.
I mean, I think they're on the right track. Does the game need fixing? Definitely.
Okay.
I mean,
what needs to be fixed? You think?
I mean, like I said, and I say that now because I know for sure their skill based matchmaking is going to be problems. I think they need to figure that out once for all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How to get it done right. Like we were talking, they should just make the two things ranked and casual. Just get it over with. Get it done. Even if you want to add skill-based matchmaking, I mean, maybe change the animations of the guns when you're reloading and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, make it a little bit nicer. It seems very mechanical still. When you're reloading, it just seems very. It can be a little bit more fluid, in my opinion. Okay. I mean, but besides that, I mean, it's the first day.
First day.
We know the game in the next 3 or 4 months is probably not going to look the same as it is right now.
Sure.
I like what they did with the weapons, you know, expanding how they did with the weapons or unlocking this and unlocking that. you know, being able to put all the attachments, I like that. That's something they never did before, and they thought out of the box with that. I think that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but overall, I mean, out of 10, I would give it an 8.5.
8.5, wow. After all that, I thought you were going to score much lower.
No, and this coming from a person that hasn't played Call of Duty in years, in many years. I think...
Well, we played Cold War together, but you know.
Yeah, but that was a very long time ago. I think they're on the right track finally. Let's just hope that they stay on the right track and don't go crazy with their ideas.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Nico. Uh-oh. What are your thoughts?
I'm on the spot. So I'm going to be honest. I haven't played the campaign yet.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because I didn't play during beta for some reason. Actually, I didn't even pre-order the game, so that's probably why.
Okay.
But from the very limited...
So this is just more what you've seen so far.
From what I've seen and the very limited two-game experience that I have.
Okay.
I like the mechanics so far. I can't complain. The mechanics feel very, very smooth. Everything feels smooth about the game so far.
Yeah.
The only complaint that I have is... I want to say is how different of a game it is compared to... Which is a good thing. Compared to Cold War, compared to anything else that's come out recently.
It had to be different. Or else
it had to be. Exactly. It had to be different. If
they stayed the same, they would have been better off just going bankrupt.
The only reason why I say that is because me, as well as I'm sure many other people, we come into the game thinking, oh, it's going to be kind of similar mechanics to the old game. Oh, I'm going to be able to do this, do that. No, not at all whatsoever. The first game, I was struggling. Mm. I think I went 3-13 my first game.
Mm.
The maps are different. The feel of the game is different. Everything's just different. Just completely different, which I like different. I have to get used to it. So it's not really a complaint. It's just more of a slight frustration as I'm trying to level up my account and level up my guns.
It's complaining.
Call the only a little bit.
Call the ambulance.
But no, shush. The big boys are talking. The big boys are talking.
I'm gone.
That's right.
Go ahead.
That's right. Other than that, I can't really complain. I do like the feature that they added with firing range.
Yeah,
where you can actually test the recoil, you can test what attachments works best, as well as, I believe I saw this on Battle.net itself on the front page for Modern Warfare 2, where it kind of tells you with each attachment that you put on that you're going to be able to tell exactly what it's higher in.
We were talking about that before we came on. We showed that.
Exactly.
Yes,
I really like, where it's a panoramic diagram of it's severely looking good.
You can adapt.
You're above average, and you can just adapt and see exactly how the gun is going to perform.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, you add these attachments and minimal. Or you add this magazine and the ammunition goes to maximum.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff. That I really like because that you can do more customization, which being able to interchange every single part of the gun is honestly something I'm very excited for. Just to see the combinations that come out of this.
That's why you
can have some crazy, absurd combinations that we might not see now, but we're going to see, like Bruno said, maybe in a month, maybe 2 months.
Right.
I just hope that everybody's loadout isn't going to be the same like it was in Warzone.
It will.
Where there's a meta.
There will be a meta. Don't worry. When people start
Don't do this to me. I have high hopes that there's not going to be a meta.
Once you're going to have 50% of the players at above level 20, you're going to start getting meta. When people start unlocking half of the better attachments, you're going to have a meta. Guarantee. You can write it down. It happens every time. That's when they have to start doing their fixes and start fixing broken guns when that happens. Give it a couple of weeks. You'll see.
I don't want to give it a couple of weeks. I want to keep it the way it is right now. Mm-mm. I'm liking the way it is right now. But for rating, from what I've experienced so far, I'd give it a maybe 7.5, 8.
Wow.
Okay.
I can't, I can't really.
That's good. That's
I only give it that because I haven't experienced the whole game yet. I haven't done the campaign. Right. Campaign, from what I heard, is a solid 10.
Campaign's good. It's like I said, it's the same blueprint of every campaign that they do, you know?
But all the other game modes I haven't tried out yet.
It feels nice.
Yeah, all the other game modes I haven't tried out yet. The fact that the game isn't pay to win yet, with all these blueprints, with all these different operators, I like it so far. Like, I even saw just now, because I was looking at operators, Rose is back in the game.
Yeah.
But not the Rose skin that we're used to in Warzone, where you could sit in a dark corner and nobody would notice you.
Yep.
Hope it stays like that.
Wait until they start coming out with tracing bullets again. That they shoot you, you can't see. Once the bullets are hitting you, you get the blur in front of your face.
Right. So eight and
7.5, 8. I'm like kind of
seven and a half. Okay. All right. So that you guys said some interesting things that I actually want to comment on. So in regards to things developing as far as in a competitive sense, there's always going to be the best gun. There's always going to be the best stuff. Here's where this Call of Duty in particular, I think, does something that, like you said, is a bit different. And now a lot of legacy players, they may not necessarily like it at first. But I think what they did with the TTK, it being a bit faster, right? It's faster time to kill.
Mm-hmm.
It actually will lessen the margin of like, oh, I have to use the fastest time to kill weapon.
Right.
Because if we're similar with different attributes, everything is killing fast, then that kind of opens the door to kind of like give you a little bit of leeway, like, hey, maybe I want to use the gun that I really want to use instead of just the best gun, right? So I think just the fact that everyone gets melted by everything, I think that's a good thing, in my opinion. I think as far as the gameplay mechanics, when it comes to multiplayer, we've gotten a lot of old stuff coming back. So we got Tac Sprint, we got the dive. We have that coming back, and we have mounting as well.
Mm-hmm.
The new ledge mechanic is cool. The fact that you can like peek over a ledge and shoot.
Oh yeah, I haven't tried that yet.
You don't that you can't. You don't have to just pull yourself up and go up.
You can actually peek before you do anything.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there's enough new stuff to make this a whole new, fresh experience without it being not familiar at all. I think it's a good balance. I mean, we have a different way of doing the gunsmith when we are upgrading weapon platforms instead of just the gun itself. We're able to get the attachments that would be on maybe the SMG version or on the marksman rifle version of that gun. So we're able to mix and match and kind of really personalize the weapon. And it just feels like, just based off of what I've played so far, that the attachments really make more of an impact and more of a difference on how your gun feels, from the movement speed to the recoil. There's a lot more recoil than 2019.
Yep.
Modern Warfare, which I like. Yeah. I think it definitely gives it more of a learning curve, and it allows you to kind of develop a skill and find the right tune, like your ability to find the right tuning for your weapon between speed and recoil control, I think is more important more than ever. And I think that's fun. I think that's really cool. Like finding that build, like, oh yeah, okay, I want to try this. I want to try this attachment. How does it feel without the barrel, with the barrel, that sort of thing, I think is really awesome. As far as the campaign goes, I actually really enjoyed the campaign. For those who are interested to see my reaction, it's actually on my YouTube channel. If you go to Codename Tangu, this is a shameless plug, I know. But yeah, it's in three parts. I live streamed the whole entire campaign. You can see my reaction from start to finish, to all the twists and turns, the struggles, the tears, the pain that I went through playing on hardened mode. And honestly, with this campaign, I definitely, it's up there for me in terms of Call of Duty campaigns, just from the sheer amount of variety from sniping missions, from the extensive stealth missions, from being able to drive vehicles, hopping in the AC-130, getting callbacks from being in the ghillie suit and being with Price and stuff like that is really fun. And I love the fact that they kind of took what Cold War did. I don't know if you guys remember the Cold War campaign. There was parts in there where you had different choices, right? You had you can approach things in a different way. You can go stealth. You can go loud. Yes. You can get the key card from the top, the second floor, disable the cameras on the first floor, and then that opens up a different way to get to where you have to go. And they did that here, where we have choices and different approaches to the levels. And it's really hard. It's really hard to be fully stealthy in this game. And it's really challenging, but the game rewards you greatly if you're able to pull it off.
Yep.
And overall, from a graphic standpoint, from a cinematic standpoint, the map designs, I think, are super detailed. This is the most polished Call of Duty we've gotten so far. Sound design, the sound of the guns is better than it's ever been. If you have a nice headset, if you hear the guns, the gun rounds, and the way it sounds, it's just a different feeling than previous Call of Duties, at least in my opinion. All the cutscenes too, amazing quality CGI and everything like that. Spec Ops, we're actually getting a really nice Spec Ops mode, in the sense that you get the true Call of Duty experience. Like, the Spec Ops feels like a legit campaign mission with you and someone else. Like, it's not just like an arcadey, like, oh, like, we're just gonna fight waves of enemies and just hope we survive. No, it's us trying to figure out how to approach stealth. Are we gonna work together? Are we gonna separate? Are you gonna flank? There's apparently puzzles and things like that. It's a whole different ball game with that, and that adds a lot of value as well, because you can unlock blueprints and whatnot. overall, as a game, again, as someone that I say pay $60, pay $20 for the season pass and everything like that, is it worth your money? I think it is. And as far as a rating, I would have to give it an eight, a solid eight, and that's better than average. I think this is up there as far as Call of Duty releases, how well it's done, how well it's been received by the community, and it does have its flaws. I mean, there's been a couple times my game crashed and things like that, small hiccups, waiting to get into the servers, and stuff like that. That kind of puts a dampen on the parade a little bit sometimes, but that's something that I expect to be fleshed out later on. But yeah, overall, really, really solid Call of Duty. I think this is going to be a good one, especially what we know for the future. And that 8 could very well increase to a 9, depending on how it goes with Warzone and things like that. It could potentially be the best Call of Duty. We'll have to see. Right, but as of right now, this is a really good Call of Duty in comparison to some of the old ones, and a lot of cool callbacks to if you're a fan of the Modern Warfare 2 story and like seeing these characters do things. If you're a fan of that, you're gonna really like this. And it's a blast. It's a good time.
No, for sure. As long as they don't get cute, if they don't get too cute in the game, we should be fine. I mean, definitely. You also. Like you were saying, in terms of like your decisions change, like if one of the AIs asks you a question, depending on your answer, also is going to change.
Conversation options.
You can. Before it was like you just have that tunnel to go through. Now, like at one point, you can go through this door instead of going straight. That'll give you a different way to go around, to avoid, to hide. It's got a very good feeling to it, definitely.
Oh, and there's crafting too, which is different.
Exactly. I got blown away with that. I was like, okay.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's not anything. It's not like a super extensive crafting system. Like you literally just pick up items, could be household items. And then once you have a certain amount, you can craft certain things like Mogolov cocktails and, you know, little shanks so that you can pry open doors and boxes. That is really cool because it really breaks up parts where you're just in firefights constantly, and then you all of a sudden don't have a weapon and it's intense and you have to sneak and gather resources. It breaks it up and it's pretty nice the way they did it.
I totally agree with that for sure. I mean, can't complain about that. It was, and you know, a little for all of those that didn't play the campaign, there is at the end of the campaign there is a little bit of a spoiler. A little bit of a breath
from
the
past. Don't say it.
No. Just a little breath from the past.
I will have to. You say I will. Don't.
No, I'm not gonna say. I'm just
don't
saying.
Do
we,
it.
We get a little breath.
Is that
from
after
the past.
Credit scene?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Don't you do it.
Very interesting for who.
Don't
who
do played. It to me.
It's.
I will haunt you.
It's interesting. It's very unexpected.
Yeah. Don't skip the after credit scene.
Definitely
it's
watch
cool.
It to the end. It's cool, and a little spoiler that everybody can hear. Ghost finally takes his mask off, but we still don't know who he is. We only know what was his name, Simon, something like that.
Yeah, his real name
Simon
is
Riley.
Simon.
Yeah,
Simon Riley. Yeah,
how they said that in the first Modern Warfare remake.
But we still
yeah.
don't 2019. Know what he looks like. But he takes his mask off though.
Well, if you look up the actor. You probably guess.
Probably. I mean, you want to go that far, yeah.
Oh, everyone is based off an actual actor, so. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to find the guy who plays Price.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool.
He did, what was it, last game that he was in? He was doing Christmas greetings or something like that, live
action? Yeah, they could do live action stuff because they're just based off the actors. They could do the voice. They look exactly like them,
literally.
Like how they look in the game.
Yeah,
it's
the
so
beard
crazy.
And everything looks exactly like it.
It's exactly. Guy. Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it, right? I mean,
we covered
a lot of ground.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of ground to cover there, but it's very fresh.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually itching to play, so
I am too. I've been tapping in and out, just like.
I think my game already.
I
yes, want to. Mine's
play.
Finally downloaded, so I know.
Well, I now you have to download game. Shaders. That's gonna take it out.
I hate that. Can they change that? You buy the game. You download the game. Okay, now you still gotta wait another 15-20 minutes for the freaking.
They just want to make sure this is the only game you're gonna play. We gotta make the file sizes extra large, so you have to delete everything else, and it's gonna load extra long.
I forgot about that. I really do hope that they don't screw us with file sizes and updates.
Yeah, I mean,
because every time an update came out, it was a brand new game.
Yeah, yep. I mean that's classic. Buy an external hard drive, guys.
Yeah,
if you want to play Call of Duty,
it's gonna be a 50 gig update every time.
Especially if you're also a Destiny player, it's kind of a given. You have to have both.
That was like that was bad. That was bad. Well, I mean, if you're a Destiny player, I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for me.
But pretty much, we are going to call it. Not quits, but we are going to
an episode.
An episode.
That is an episode.
Last credits for you, Elvis. Anything else you want to shout out to our viewers or listeners?
Yeah, shout out to all of LIGL, everyone involved at Ghost, everyone that comes to all the events. Shout out to the LI Nets for doing the event with us. Everyone that we've worked with up to this point, it's been an incredible journey this far, and I can't wait to see what happens in the future. It's only getting better, it's only growing. And if you guys want to follow me and see some of the content that I put out, I've been a little bit more consistent streaming on YouTube. Please follow the YouTube channel, Codename Tangu. It's Codename_Tangu. Give me a follow. Check out some of the videos. Like I said, I just did the Call of Duty campaign. There's going to be a bit more Call of Duty content coming. And also, if you're a fan of fighting games, of course, we're playing some Street Fighter. We're playing Tekken. We're getting better. We're learning. We're growing together. And yeah, come be part of the journey, and we'll have some fun.
Definitely, definitely. There you got it, guys. Nick, anything else from you, sir? Or are you going to go silent?
I think we covered pretty much everything. I mean, if I don't need to.
What?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say if you guys wanted to follow me on Twitch,
YouTube. Go ahead. Okay.
And Instagram, Nico Chan Gaming, or Nico Chan Game 1112. That's pretty much it.
There you go. And one more follow that we do not normally say, but we will. Like Elvis was talking about, and we were talking before about our events. When we do the tournaments at Ghost, we do live stream it on the Long Island Gaming League Twitch account. Mm-hmm. So please follow us there. Every other week, let's put it in that way, we are doing tournaments. We did not have one. We were supposed to do it tonight. It got kind of changed around in the calendar. So we should be going back next Friday.
Ghost, November 4th.
Yes, and after that, I'm assuming if nothing changes, we should be doing it still every other week. Tekken is our thing, is our spiel on that. So if you're interested in seeing some very good fighters, especially coming out of the Long Island scene, check us out. You'll see us there too. Me and Elvis and everybody from Long Island Gaming League, we all get involved. I mean, you put our necks out there to be chopped off by the top players just to, you know, give them a little bit of a practice. But but from us over here at the Long Island Gaming League podcast, we appreciate you guys coming around. Hope to see you guys again soon. Stay, you know, keep your eyes on all of our social medias. We do have more podcasts that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks, month or so. We have a couple of nice things set up, a couple events also. So check out our social medias, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Buy the merch.
Exactly. Our webpage.
Buy the merch.
The merch is on there. Buy the merch. Don't forget, merch is very important also. You support us. You support everything that we stand for. And at the same time, you help us also support the kids that we work with, the schools, so on and so forth. So appreciate you guys. See you guys again soon. Peace out.
Peace. See you guys online.